Yeah. Okay, now how do you stop it?
I'm not sure. Well, we're going to get started anyway.
Yeah, in about 3 minutes. Yeah, you can start now if you want.
So I was thinking why it's on.
Yeah, it is on as far as I know. Oh, but wait a minute. We got to flick it back to hold, otherwise you'll accidentally turn it off like I sometimes do.
Okay.
Oh, no, that doesn't do it.
Good morning.
It should still be recording.
Huh?
It should still be recording.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Chill on now.
Good morning, everybody. I guess we're gonna get started. I'm your guest speaker last minute. So we're gonna get started. We're at Faith Bible Church. Today is 9/23/2012, and we're going to open up in prayer. And I just pray God will use me to encourage you today, comfort. Sometime we need conviction, and that's what the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and does that. Did you have some?
I hope you know that we can hardly see you when you stand there.
I know, that's why I kind of come this way, because I can hardly see you. Well, I'm not as bad as my wife. She was singing it one day, and you could, like, see the top of her head. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for laughter. Thank you that as believers, we don't have to be cold, and where we can't have fun. But we can come, and we're serious about your word. But just thank you for the gift of laughter, and thank you for your word, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by your word. I pray today, Lord, you'll just take your word and comfort those who need to be comforted, rebuke and correct us who need to be, maybe there's areas in our lives, and encourage us, Lord, in your word. Help us to see who we've been made in your Son, and that we might learn to walk consistently with our identity. May your Holy Spirit be the true teacher today, God. As the old preachers, you say, hide me behind your cross. And may Christ be glorified, Father. May we know your heart, your will better today. And to know you. Not just about you, but to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the name of my message is, true holiness comes from within and it's lived out. It's the indwelling Christ living in us, expressing himself out of us. That's the true Christian life in a nutshell. And, you know, there's a lot of ideas today, right, about holiness. You see, you're driving, you know, Holiness Church. And I've seen a car wash, Anointed Hands of God car wash, you know. You hear a lot about holiness. And if you don't know, if you don't get your, if you want your theology, that's what, the study of God. If you don't get your ideas, your worldview from the Word of God and rightly divided, you're going to come up with some carnal things. Because if the source, you know, if the root is bad, the fruit's going to be bad. And you see today what, when you hear about holiness. I've been in Holiness Church, very legalistic. And they tell you holiness is dressing this way. Men got to have real short haircuts. Barbers love them. Because they go probably every week, you know. And the thrift shop loves the women because they go buy up all the long Levi, you know, skirts and things like that. And if you're really holy, you not only come Sunday morning, you come Sunday night. And the real holy ones come what? Wednesday, right? And you knock on doors, you know, and bother. And, you know, as we'll see, God does call about women adorn yourselves. Make yourself attractive, but it says with modesty. So God does instruct us. And, you know, a lot of times under grace, I think sometimes we don't realize, Moses gave the law to Israel, right? I think most people in this church know that. There might be some who's not been coming as long, been under right division teaching, you know, where we rightly divide the word. But God gave Moses instruction for Israel at Mount Sinai for the nation Israel, right? And their responsibility was what? To obey that. Well, you know, sometimes we get a misunderstanding that we got commands too. Paul said if somebody, you know, is a prophet or is spiritual, let him acknowledge that he gives us the commands of Christ. Under grace, we got commands too. But under law, what was the motivation? Fear. You know what I'm saying? Under grace, motivation is the love of God compels me. That's like a big wind in the sail pushing us along. And under grace, you want to serve God. You want to be used by God. And you know, every true believer really does. But what happens is if you're not under grace teaching, I feel sorry for people that go to a legalistic church. I did 8 years, you know, struggling. And they really want to serve God. But they ain't getting the juice. They ain't getting the grace. And then they struggle. And when you come to the end of yourself, you're in a good place. It's a terrible feeling that I can't do this, Lord. But when you come to yourself, remember, our responsibility, I hope this comes out in the message this morning, our responsibility is our response to His ability. It's Christ got to produce it in us. You know, when we get our eyes on ourselves, well, I got to do that. I have to do my Bible study this morning. I got to give God 15 minutes in prayer. He's like, if that's all you got for me, I'll take it. But it's a relationship all day long, you know. And it's not I got to, I want to. I want to know the Word of God. I want to know His mind. I want to know His heart. I want to know His will. And, you know, remember when you were a new believer? Or you see a new believer? Excited. They're telling everybody. When I got saved, I was a Jesus freak in the neighborhood. They used to call me Muggsy. You know, here comes Muggsy. He's going to be talking about Jesus, right? And I didn't care. It was like, I know I got happiness and I see you're empty. And I want to share that with you. But what happens to us sometimes? Where'd that joy go? Remember when you first got saved? It's sometime we get into our own legalism and we're trying to produce. And now it becomes duty and, you know, and we don't have to be like that because grace keeps that. Like, I'm going to get in text actually in a minute. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. But Major Ian Thomas, who was very effective in Bob George's life, who was very effective in my early starting to grow and understanding and grasp the difference of law and grace, my identity in Christ, complete forgiveness. He was on a plane talking to this young, probably kid was 10 years old or somewhere around there, 8, 9, 10, 12. But anyway, a very young man. And that kid wrote him a letter years ago. He says, you might not remember me, but I remember you. And he became a pastor, this young man. He says, you are a jolly old man. That's what I remember about you. He was sharing Christ with them. It's that joy. That's what unbelievers see. What do they got? They're going through things. They got a joy. They got a peace. See, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And He produces that in us. He lives in us. So, hopefully, my text, God does call us to responsibility. There's a responsibility. But I always, when I preach or teach, I want to make sure it's motivated by grace. Not for you to perform, but it's our response to His ability. That's our responsibility. So let's see part of our identity in Ephesians 1, 1 to 7. Paul, our apostle to the body of Christ, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now what I want to say about that, I was listening to the series Pastor Stam did on this. And you think, ooh, but they're faithful Christians. These are the real faithful. Ooh, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, high dispensational truth, right? He brought some out in that. The faithful, they were full of faith. Not that they were perfect people. Not that they were walking on water and, you know, 2 inches off the ground, you know, with the halo and stuff. No, they were full of faith. And how do you get that? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But then we have a response of faith. You know, it's one thing, you're getting in the Word of God, you're coming to a church that teaches grace. Praise God. Ain't you, I know he won't like it probably. Can we give the pastor a hand for standing so many years? And still, I appreciate him so much, you know. It's a battle. You don't know. That's why he needs to keep him in prayer. Dave, you know. I pray God just enlarges Dave's borders and uses him. He's such a great Bible teacher. I said, I don't know how he gets 1,000 verses in and, you know, all that time. I have trouble with 10. Yeah. But we're really blessed that to have a church that teaches grace. Because there's a lot of people going to church this morning. They're going to leave church feeling more worse when they leave, and it's a shame. So they were full of faith. They were trusting, just believing. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he say, God's going to get you? I went to a church like that 8 years. No, it's grace and peace. We got peace with God. And you can't have the peace of God until you realize you got peace with God. And that's why grace is so important. And write the vision so you understand that. And he says, now look at Paul. It's a eulogy about somebody who's alive. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever just, on the way here, I'm, you know, because I don't want to focus, you know, like the pastor says, Dave is shy. I am a little bit, you know. I'm good at hiding things, but I'm so glad to see my sister here. Praise God. But I'm praising God. I'm saying, Lord, I hope I bless your heart. I love you because you first loved me. I praise you for who you are. I thank you for what you did. I'm not, you know, when I was under Pentecostalism and there was a lot of time the Word and Faith movement, that prosperity gospel sort of gets in. And I remember when I first started teaching, I had started understanding grace, but I was still really influenced by that. And I said, we need to praise God to motivate Him to bless us. I had that tape years ago. After that, and I said, I need to throw this thing away. You don't praise God to get some. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You praise Him for who He is, and you thank Him for what He's did in His Son. You just praise Him. You know, imagine the heart of God. You who have kids, or even if you're an uncle or an aunt, and your kids or your niece and nephew says, I just love you. Man, you're like my hero. What do you think God's heart? It blesses His heart. And we get it, and we're His children. We get a chance to bless God's heart. When He looks at you, we're so sometimes focused on us and our failures. You know, how would you like to define yourself by your failures? I'm a real big failure. Every day I come up short, you know. Don't define yourself by your failures. Define yourself by how God says you are. We're going to see. You're holy in His eyes. Set apart. You're accepted and the beloved in Christ. When God looks at you, I think He smiles. He don't smile when we're messing up. Oh, how cute. You know, no. He knows what we did, but it was paid for 2,000 years ago. He'll never bring our sins up to us. But He will, His Word will show us, you're my child. Why are you acting like you ain't? You know, that's the Word of God. That's why it's important to get into it. And so He says, Paul's just thinking about all God's did for us. When we didn't deserve it, right? While we were still sinners. Think of that word. God's so holy He can't look on sin. He's perfect. He's an all-consuming fire. Perfectly righteous. But God is love too, right? And His justice got to punish sin. His justice can't let sin go. You know how people go, oh, God knows, you know, everybody sins. Oh, yeah. You're right. Everybody sins. And you don't understand. They don't understand. They got this nice little God. That's why the prosperity gospel, a little God in the sky they can control. Put their quarter of spoken faith, confession in their mouth, and in the slot machine, and out comes your blessing, you know. That ain't the kind of God. I won't even serve a God like that. If I can control Him. See, we're created for His Spirit to control us. And how does He do that? As we depend on Him. And as we, by faith, because how do you go from our identity, you know, some people call it our position in Christ. And that's true, it's your position. But I like the word identity better, because position almost sounds a little bit cold to me. You know, there's nothing wrong with it, because it is our position in Christ before God. But to me, identity, How do you go from God tells you who you are, and it's who you are. God's made you that way. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ Jesus, what? Yeah. We're a new creature, new creation. The old's passed away. It's new. So how do we go from our knowing who we are to being consistent in our walk? It's faith. We look and see what God says as we're... And when you study the Word, you got to be prayerful. Sometimes, you know, I'm feeling rushed, and it's like, okay, Lord, just let your Spirit teach me. And I say, well, I got to stop here. Because if His Holy Spirit don't teach me, I ain't going to get it. So we take time and depend on God through His Spirit to turn that light on in our minds. And so He says, blessed in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. So don't come to me, sincere believers, and tell me you got to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Because I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Scripture tells me, and I'm trying, I don't want to be ignorant, you know, and especially this goes on the internet and different things. But I've been in that position. I've been in that type of teaching. And I didn't know what I had. I'm like, well, if I get the Holy Spirit, I can live this Christian life, right? I'd walk every week. Walk back, my second class Christian. And then I did what they call, what they would say today, speaking in tongues, which tongues was a known language. It wasn't just Hashana Hakapatahai. You know, it wasn't babbling. You know, you look at pouring out on Pentecost, I heard them speaking in their languages. You know, Jews from all over the world. And then you see Paul correcting that, just babbling too. You know, everything, even musical instruments have a sound, you know. So anyway, that's not my purpose to get in that. But when somebody tells me, I remember I preached at a college years back for a campus crusade for Christ in, I think, Champaign, Illinois. And I had a whole thing ready. And they had some lady, they gave her, she's supposed to have about 5 minutes. And she took about half an hour, so I had 5 minutes. I had this thing with the screen and all prepared, and I'm like, 5 minutes now, right? So it's just like, Lord, you know, He can do a lot in 5 minutes, you know? But there was this, you could tell he was a charismatic brother, you know, I'm sure loved the Lord. Him and, I think they were Filipinos, they were Asian, and they were playing guitar. And I knew they were charismatic by some of the songs. Holy Spirit, come fall on us, you know. And I'm thinking, what an insult to the Holy Spirit. They meant it. I'm not attacking them. They were sincere. But so afterwards, I dealt with just what I'm sort of dealing with a little bit right here. That Scripture says, when you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Romans, it says, if you don't have the Spirit, God, you're not His. So He come up afterwards and He's like, you can't tell me that tongues ain't for today. You can't convince me. And I says, well, I think if we go to Scriptures, I can, if you'll be open. He got all mad. And I go, you know what, brother? We can agree to disagree. Because if he's trusting in Christ, he's still my brother. She's still my sister. And there is a lot, you know, I like Kirkwood used to say, some people have a little doctrine, but a lot of attitude. And God can use somebody with the attitude. And maybe if they're puffed up, not with the doctrine. Because God, what? Resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Yet, you should have doctrine. You should be growing. You should know this word, have it memorized, right? But have that attitude. Because grace, the more you understand, it's God's grace, the more you should want to serve God. The more it should do in our lives, it transforming. Because the word of God, what? Worketh in you. Empowers you. That's the idea. Dunamis. Energy. Spiritual energy. So if we're in this word, but you got to apply faith. Faith is believing what God says. If God says you're a new creation in Christ, what are you?
New creation.
Yeah. Say it. I'm a new creation.
New creation.
I'm beloved and accepted and beloved. Ain't you blessed?
Yeah.
You don't got to try and earn God's love. You don't got to perform. Now you can serve him our gratitude and dependence. And so he says, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. So when somebody tells me, you got to get more, I say, what more do I need than Jesus? I have a spirit. Oh, you're trying to steal my identity. Well, if you got a wrong identity, let me steal it. You know, let me tear it down. I remember I was seeing a lady in the Word and Faith movement years back, and she would start seeing grace and growing in grace, but her friends would say, oh, he's still in your faith. You know, and she says, I feel like you're stripping me of everything. I said, I ain't doing nothing but showing you in the Word. Maybe God wants some things taken away. They ain't supposed to be there. You know? So I told her one day, I went over there, and I had to pray because I was aggravated. You go things over and over with people, you know. You know, James, in the McDonald's ministry, you go over and over and you get aggravated, you know. And I'm like, Lord, you know, so I'm complaining, Lord. And I'm like, look at this. I'm supposed to understand grace. Look at how I'm thinking, my attitude. Because it came to my mind, love is patient. I'm not. Unless Christ in me produces it. So by the time I got there, she told me the one time, I was thinking about what you said. What do you need more than Christ? You got everything. You're complete in Christ, Colossians 2:6 or 2:10, I believe says. So you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Verse 4. As he has chosen us in him, this isn't a choosing, a Calvinistic idea of choosing some to be saved, some not. He chose us in him. So when we get in him, how do you get in him? By faith, you're saved by grace through faith, right? It's a gift of God. So the moment you believe, his idea and time passed, he had a plan, if you want, that he didn't reveal that mystery to Apostle Paul, that he's going to place you in Christ. And now you're accepted. Now you're completely beloved. You know, God loves the world, but I think he has a special love for his children. It's like us. You might love your neighbor's kids, you know, love your niece and nephews, but ain't nobody like your own, you know. I got stepson, and I love. Sometimes I'm tough on them, you know, trying to teach them to be men. They'll agree. Jacob's like, amen. First time I see him say amen in church. But I love these guys, you know. There's other young people that I know, and I love them. I got nieces and nephews and stuff, but it's not the same. I'll do things for them that I wouldn't do for somebody else's kids, you know? So God does. He loves unconditionally, right? But his own children, there's a special place in his heart for that. And he chose us in Christ, what? So when we, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So it wasn't a choosing to be saved or not. It was that in Christ, that's what God chose. Now you're what? What are you? Tell me. Come on, help me to teach. What are you? What's it say?
Blame. Holy.
Holy without blame. You say, but you don't know the thoughts I think. You don't know how I got smart with my husband. Or you don't know I wasn't loving to my wife. I wasn't patient with my kids. I wasn't patient with my stepsons. You're holy without blame. Because God don't look at you based on what you do. It's who you are. You're his child. And that's how he looks at you. Well, that's hard. It takes real faith. Because when you mess up, we want to then sort of get... And religion, see, there's two stores in town. There's God's, and you got Satan's. You always hear, like even on Facebook, oh, them Christians, they did this. They killed the Crusades. All the problems in the world is Christians. You know, if you go to college, excuse me, I got a little bit of a cold. If you go to college, they just attack. And if you don't equip your kids to know some things, they're not going to know defenses against that. And so... Satan's got a church. People are in it this morning, a lot of them. And what is it? False teaching. What's it say? He transforms himself, into an angel of light. And his ministers, should it surprise you? So what, Satan likes that. To make, there's true Christianity. True Christianity, God never told them to go kill people. In the Old Testament, he went, but you know, they weren't nice people. The things, they were so evil. You know, they don't tell you that. You know, they're just, oh, they killed innocent people. But Satan has his church. And they learn. And it's religion. He works best in religion. It sounds so good, don't it? But that's not true Christianity. But that's what a lot of unsaved people see. The self-righteous Pharisee. And we all got a little bit of that. You ever see yourself in the Bible? Kirk, would you say that? In the Pharisee? Looking at somebody and like, we forget where God brought us from. Don't dwell on the past, but don't forget. Don't dwell on your failures, because God works it for your good. He takes even your failures from your past and uses it so you'll have compassion on somebody. So you won't look at them, how could they do that as a Christian? Oh, real easy. For the right circumstances. You know that old saying about walking in Indians' moccasins or in their... I forgot it. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm going to go to the Alzheimer's unit with my wife later. And so, in verse 5, having predestined us, did it say to get saved? No. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself. That's not an adoption like we think of today. I'm sure most of you probably know that. The idea is in that culture back then, when your son became full grown, and you said when, he gets all privileges, responsibilities, and rights. He can have the family ring and write checks, what we would do today, the seal. That's what it is. God makes us, he blesses us with every spiritual blessing. You lack nothing. Nothing. You're rich. You don't look it. I don't either. You don't see my Rolex. I got a Timex. They'll probably outlast the Rolex. But it bugs me when I see him up there with the big diamonds. And nothing wrong with you wear some jewelry or something. But I'm talking about Rolex and Kenneth Copeland with 5 planes. He's going to buy the fastest in the United States. Joyce Myers, the prosperity gospel, mansions. And I'm thinking, people send in money. A lot of old ladies believe in the lie, oh, if you give, God will give you that hundredfold, because they don't rightly divide the word, and they try and take that and apply it here. And I don't know their hearts. I actually like Joyce Meyer. She makes a lot of common sense, but she's in that Word and Faith movement. She used to just be like charismatic. But a lot of time, error begets error, and things slip in. So, it says, verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God gets pleasure and blessing. Isn't he a good guy? He enjoys blessing you. You say, how come I ain't got no big bank account? How come the people with big bank accounts are drunks and drug addicts in mental hospitals seeing shrinks, killing themselves, many of them? Or now, like Bill Gates, I think he's filling that emptiness. He's got the world, you know, by the tail. Now he's giving a lot. Frank Sinatra, at the end of his life, I heard, because he was a squirrely character, if you like. But at the end, he was trying to be good. You know, they think you make it up, right? I got an uncle that tells me, well, I think it balances out. He was in prison a lot, but now he's a pretty decent dude. You know, he's a faithful husband, and he said, I kissed my wife's feet. She stuck with them. No, I wouldn't know if I was her. But he goes, so I think it balances out. I go, no. One sin caused what? The Spirit of God to leave Adam, right? One sin brought condemnation to the whole human race. We're born into that. And God sends a son, right? His most precious son. You know, you think about it. Use what kids are. Think about the most wonderful person that you can think of in your life. I want you to get that in your mind. It might be your mother. If you had a good mom. It might be your father. Somebody. And then think of somebody who you really don't like. Maybe did something to you. Or just, you know, you don't rub personalities. And say it's your mother, right? Because mothers, there's nobody like mom, right? If you got a good one, there's some bad ones, but. And then think about giving her to die for that one you don't like. That's agape love. That's God's love. And that's what we were, criminals. We broke God's law. What's criminal? We were rebels, man. And God sent the Son. He reached out to us. We didn't reach out to Him. I know I was doing my thing, going my own way. And praise God, He uses this word, and then He uses people usually. Sometimes people in jail now, they just get in the word and they get saved. Because they take the time. And you know why they a lot of time get saved? They know something's wrong. They know their life. It's not only what they're doing, something inside. And people go, yeah, like somebody from jail and stuff, they get saved because, you know, they're all messed up. And they need religion. I think you need it more because a self-righteous person, moral person, they're the hardest ones to reach, ain't they? Because, well, they say, I'm a good person. Says who? I think you are. You know, I got an aunt. I don't say her name. Anyway, and I love her. She's got a good heart. But she got a past. And she has trouble now because her kids don't respect her and her grandkids because of the past. But, like on Facebook, if any of you go on Facebook, I post a lot about the Lord and stuff. And her and then this other Buddhist lady, I'm a good person. Says who? You? Those who compare themselves by themselves are not wise, right? Kirk, would you say, God didn't send His Son to die for ladies and gentlemen, sinners. So you got to know you're a sinner. Or, you know, a man, there's a good post on Facebook. It says, a person can't get saved until they know they can't save themselves. Because if you think you're good by your religion, your morals, why you need a Savior? You know, that's Satan's whole lie in religion. You can make yourself acceptable to God. And all religions are the same. They say different things, same idea, right? Do this, don't do that. Buddha, the way. And then I've heard it put like this. Because I put on Facebook, I'm bold sometimes, but I try and speak the truth in love. I says, you know, when you die, Buddha ain't going to be there. Muhammad ain't going to be there. Your priest ain't going to be there. Your rabbi ain't going to be there. I was going to put pastor, but if your pastor's saved, he's going to be there. But he's not going to be. You're not going before them. And they ain't going to be with you there with your defense. But Christ is going to be there. And I says, trust Him as Savior now or face Him as judge later. Now is the day of salvation, right? We live in the dispensation of grace. All you got to do is trust that He did that for me. And then you get blessed with every spiritual blessing. You come into His family. You become a new creation of a member of the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace. Ain't you glad you didn't? People, you know, a lot of time, everybody says, we got to get back to Pentecost. You know, right? I'm glad I didn't live back then. I'm glad I didn't live in the gospel, except that I would have got to ask Christ questions, but I'll be able to ask Him questions then at the rapture. Yeah. But I'm so glad I live in the dispensation of grace. We're blessed. And that we have a church. You know, our church ain't no better than anybody else's. We're no better than anybody else's. Christians ain't no better than unbelievers. They're just better off. We're better off because we're under grace teaching. And it says, not under law, you're under grace, right? Thank God we understand that. Okay, I don't know you, but like I said, in my past, I was under legalistic teaching and I felt so condemned. How you like to feel every day, when's God's going to get you? God's sick of me. I didn't know that He sees me as holy without blemish. I thought if I commit this week, I can do it. To the commitment I broke last week, from the commitment I broke last week, and it's a circle, you know? Ain't you glad? Do you thank God sometime when you're... Thank you, Lord, that we go to Grace Church. We're not, you know, I'm not putting down other churches. We're not the only church with the truth. You know, sometime we can get puffed up and think, oh, we discovered dispensationalism and right division ourselves. Sometimes people, through the Word, did come to that conclusion. But, you know, you almost think like Kirkwood, when he was grasping grace, he's like, God, I don't want to, like, maybe start a cult. Excuse me, because ain't nobody out there hardly teaching it. You know, you'll find the church here and there, and, you know. But as he kept looking this Word, and the Word confirms it, you know. But usually it's somebody shared with you, gave you some keys. Like, I did lead a Bible study. I started doing one on Thursday nights, and had a guy led from jail to the Lord. And it's wonderful. 20 years ago or whatever, he's never been back. And he reaches out to guys in the streets. And I forgot where I'm going there, but that's right. It'll come back to me later. Says in verse 6, now all these things, and then Paul's thinking, just like when he says, blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted by what you do, right? When you're good. Is that what it says? What are you accepted in? Christ and the Beloved. God sees Christ's righteousness. You know, well, if I had long sleeves on, I got the scar right here when I was a kid. I don't want to waste time going into it, but about 69 stitches. But when I got a long sleeve shirt on, can you see? If I go like this, maybe. You can't see it. When God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Christ. Remember Adam and Eve? They were naked. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. What happens with fig leaves? They crack up. They ain't no good for covering. Can't keep you warm. God said, oh no. That was the first, if you ask me, sort of a start of religion. Trying to cover their sinfulness. God said, no. What'd He do? The wages of sin is what? Death. He took an animal, a substitute, and then blood. And then not only did that animal die in his place, He clothed them. And the way I heard it put, old Hebrew scholars and rabbis, it was like clothed from their neck to their feet. When God looked at them, He didn't see them fig leaves that are going to crumble. He's seen the animal skin. It's a picture of Christ. When God looks at you, He don't see all your scars. And He don't see your pimples. Teenager. He don't see our blemishes. God sees you unblemished, holy and acceptable in His Son. Man, that's make you want to dance a little bit. You know? You know what gospel means? I like this English guy. He used to be very conservative, charismatic. So he's a little bit into that. But he understood the difference of law and grace. And he understood dependence on the indwelling Christ. So God could use him. And I love he had the English accent. Malcolm Smith is his name. He wrote a book, Spiritual Burnout. Because people get spiritually burnt out trying to live the Christian life on their own. And I love the way he said it because you know that English accent. But he said, gospel means the jolly good news that makes men want to jump for joy. It should be, it's news, but it's good news. It should be on the front of every paper. Imagine how many unbelievers. There's good news. Jesus died for your sins. Oh, I want to read about how many gangbangers shot somebody in Chicago. That ain't exciting. Hey, man, that's exciting. You know, there's nothing wrong with having emotions. God gave them to us. But don't let your emotions lead you. It's doctrine into your spirit, the Holy Spirit teaching in your spirit, teaching your mind, thereby governing your actions, not making, overruling you. It ain't like Pentecost where the Holy Spirit actually just took control of them. Today it's moment by moment, day by day, year by year. Walk in the Spirit, you won't feel less of flesh. It's a faith walk. I like the idea, I don't know, some people might not like it. It's dancing with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's a nice way to put it. You know, some people, oh, dancing? Christians don't dance. Bet you Jesus did. He was a Jew. Bet you he did at a wedding. He didn't do no dirty dancing. But I bet you, and you know, I got this towel and I got a picture. Jesus laughing. You always think of him, he was a suffering servant. But also, why do you think kids like jumping on his lap? If he was a serious all the time person, he was serious about doing the Lord's work. He was serious when he tore up the temple, a bunch of rip-offs, religious rip-offs. Today, he'd probably tear up some TV, some of them spiritual pickpockets, prosperity pimps. But children don't go to somebody and want to sit on his lap if they're just sucking on lemon like they just came out of the dentist's office and going to a funeral. He was a Jew. He was expressive. Why do you think comedians are so good, Jewish comedians? They're funny. They're expressive. And I'll bet you he danced at weddings. I'll bet you he had such... I love my wife's laugh. It's just fun with them, and she's got a good sense of humor, right? But I bet Jesus sometime would belt it out. You know? He experienced everything we experience. So I got this picture of the laughing Jesus. I love it. You know? Satan don't mind a baby in a manger. That's no threat to us. So I got responsibility to a baby in a manger now. And sometimes he don't mind as long as they don't understand the ramifications Christ on the cross. How many people, religious people, got crucifixes that think you got to be good to go to heaven? You know? But he don't like you to know the resurrected Christ, head of the body of Christ, sitting at the right hand of God. He don't want you to know that. He don't want you to know that you are complete in him. He wants to, my wife calls them flaming darts, the doubting darts. He wants to hit your mind with error. He's got a course in this world to teach you. If you ain't in this word, if you're not being transformed, what are you going to be? Conform. So important to get in this word and to rightly divide it. Because the word will work in you. And the word don't work apart from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit don't work apart from the word. So when you hear somebody saying, God spoke to me today and he told me, you know, I know a church that is huge now. I went there when they had 50, 75 people. And I went to their 20-year anniversary. And he went back to the beginning. You know what he said happened? Before I say, I want to say, God has used that church. They do a lot of evangelizing. They go knocking on doors. And I think a lot of people got saved through there. But it was good news to get saved. But then, let me give you the bad news. Like Jordan used to say, he was taught in college in the beginning, you win them, you wet them, and you whip them. See, it's worse news. It's come to Christ. They have that right. But anyway, he said how that church started. He's walking down by, I won't mention what park and whatever, but and all of a sudden, he heard the voice of God. He said, it was so literal, I had to stop. And God told him, I'm going to do something here, and don't touch my glory. Well, why I need to study the word then? Why I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning or stay up in the evening when I'm tired? If God will speak to me direct, guess who will speak to you direct? Oh, yeah. Satan will give you all kinds of experiences, and he transforms himself into an angel of light. What I always ask is people when they tell me God spoke to me, how do you know God's voice? What's Satan's voice sound like? You know God's voice by God's word. That's where he speaks today. And if we know it, we hide it in our heart, we meditate on it, and it can't be from a month ago. It can't be I studied for 5 years, 3 hours a day, and for the last 2 years I figure I've read the Bible through 10 times. It's a continual studying. It's a continued taking in the doctrine. And then you got to do that on your own. Because there's kind of sometimes two types of people. Especially I think if you come from maybe a Catholic background, what do? You come to church and you tip your hat at God on Sundays and so make sure, like I had a grandmother, my granny, She was my great-grandmother, and she used to get on my dad's nerves. She said when she'd come in church with the big hat on, and she would walk down, like, is everybody noticing that I'm here today, you know? Or, you know, your Pentecostal church or something, you get the old lady jamming, you know, flip in and, you know, stuff like that. Is everybody looking, knowing I'm filled with Spirit? Or, you know, if you're in a non-charismatic Pentecostal, you know, carry a real big Bible. Everybody know how, you know, you don't need a Bible that big, but just make sure they notice, you know. And, it ain't about that. Like I said, I don't know how Dave does it. I got so many verses. But so we see who we are, right? Let's go to Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. I got 5 minutes. At least I remembered. I remember that time. I was thinking, well, I got to 10:45. I'm doing good time. And the pastor started walking back and forth in the back. And I'm like, wondering what he's getting stressed about. And all of a sudden, after a while, he goes, he's getting me to cut the throat sign, you know. So me and Mary still want to do it. We want to get the staff. Pull them, you know, like in old vaudeville days. They pull them off the stage. Give them the gong from the gong show. But I'm actually watching today. I got 5 minutes. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Now, God has forgiven us, right, for everything. Did we deserve it? Think you'll do something today that needs forgiveness? Think you'll get a thought? None. Think you'll, some chick with the miniskirt walks by, think you won't lust? Women are like, I see him do it. I see him. Wait a minute. I saved the best for last. God, there's a lot of women. They're my friends. Actually, two women, one slapboxed with me at the picnic and the other one kicked me because I'm their buddy. You know, it's like, I don't want to be your friend no more. But anyway, women, you look at somebody else, look at them shoes. I should have them shoes. Look at her. I'm the one serving God. Look at that diamond. See, you think, well, how about when we're driving and we're stopped at the red light and there's somebody there, raggedy? I ain't talking about the one with nice gym shoes on. I know he ain't on the streets and smoking cigarettes. He got money for smokes. He ain't doing too bad. I'm talking about the drunk and go by. You know, sometimes you're like, look at that. Disgusting. Get the little Pharisee in you. See, I'm talking about myself, too. That's where the Holy Spirit brings the word. When God demonstrated his love while we're still sinners, then you know what it makes you want to do? Reach out to them, share, right? I got in a little trouble. I used to go to this Baptist church, and I was like real bold. And a couple bums were, I'm with my sister, who a little sheltered, you know. Me, I was out on the streets, you know. She had babysitters and everything. But there's two bums. And I said, come on, get in. I'll give you a ride. They stunk. And she's like, Paul, what are you doing? I go, look it. God loves them. I'm going to teach you about life. She's like, so anyway, she didn't want to go. So I took him to church. And the one, he fell asleep in the back seat. So he couldn't go in. The other one started going, hey, now this is a conservative Baptist church. You know, he started going, amen. And everybody looked over. I'm like, I don't care. Sounds like he's getting some of the message, you know. But they took him to the back. And then, I don't know where he went. I took the other guy, gave him a ride to the mission. But see, God loved them. God loves us. We were, you know, corrupt is corrupt, right? There's levels, you know what I'm saying? Like, things in our lives sometimes will affect us more than other things, right? You know, if we went back to doing drugs, our life will be more messed up, you know. But we didn't deserve it. And now, because of what Christ did, Paul does urge us, and we have the commands of Christ, to walk in a certain way. Why? It glorifies Christ. See, God doesn't want us to live for ourselves, because that's easy to do, right? It comes natural, you know. What does it say? For the joy set before him. What Christ endures the cross, right? Say, what kind of joy? Can you imagine what Christ went through? The physical, yeah. We just look at that, and sometimes just brings tears to your eyes, right? You think of them nails in his hands. Beat, back ripped up, shreds. The crown of thorns, blood coming down. He can't breathe because you keep going down and you can't breathe. So you're really going to die from suffocation. But then you pull yourself up to breathe and that pain just rips through your body. You think of that and sometimes it makes you just, it moves you. But you know what hurt more than that? He had fellowship with the Father for eternity past, right? And the Father didn't make him go there. The Son agreed to go. The Father planned it. The Son carried it out. And the Holy Spirit takes it. What he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, and makes it real in our lives. You know what I think hurt Christ the most? He never experienced broken fellowship with the Father. All eternity. But now God is seeing him. He's identifying him and our sins. And the Father's got to turn away. Remember he said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? His heart was breaking. He didn't never experience this before. But for the joy set before him. He had joy. How? How can we, when we're facing persecution, people laughing at us, and eventually maybe we'll be going to jail within a few years for standing for our faith. How did he do that? He knew what it would accomplish. And he was willing to suffer broken fellowship, so we'll never have broken fellowship with God. You don't get in and out of fellowship. You're either in the ship or you're out. Don't let that one verse that ain't to believers, 1 John 1:9, tell you. But he says, Ephesians 5:1-3. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Remember, you're his dear children. And he wants you to follow him. And walk in love. As Christ has also loved us and has given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Now look at this. That's the motivation. I'm going to close up with this because I'm like 1 minute. Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, our apostle, right? Everybody know Paul is our apostle? Yes. That we're followers of Paul as he said, follow me as I follow Christ. That he's God's spokesman. We know right division. We're not under law. We're under grace. You know a whole lot more than that, don't you? All right, now, because of that, Christ gives us instructions, right? What's he say? In verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Paul always, the Holy Spirit through Paul, through his word, tells you who you are, and then he says, now walk who you are. Look what he says. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be once named among you as becometh saints. It's his name, right? You're a saint. Holy, without blemish, perfect in God's sight. You're a child of God. These things shouldn't even be in our lives. See, the sword sometimes really pokes our heart, don't it? And I'm going to mention one thing. On Facebook, I see sometimes believers swearing. And it talks about let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. It ain't... Well, our life should adorn the gospel, right? Because the flesh will pop up. But read Romans 6, study it till it comes out your ears. I'm closing up right now, Pastor. We don't have to sin. We don't got to give in to it. Because we have Christ within. So I'm going to end right with that. And thank you for listening. And I hope God just used me to encourage you. God, we thank you so much. I guess we'll learn for eternity, God, what it took for you to send your son to erase the rebels, especially ones that think they're so good, but they're your enemies. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and for the joy set before you endured the cross. Thank you for dying in our place, taking our punishment and our pain. And thank you for not only forgiving us, declaring us righteous, you cleansed us once and for all, but you came in and dwelled us. We're never alone. Your Spirit in us. Our life's empowered. Thank you for freeing us from the sin nature, Lord. Not only dying for our sins, but to break the power of that sin nature. Lord, may you fill our hearts with the desire to adorn the gospel, to make it attractive to a lost and dying world, that we might just glorify your Son. And for anything that's done here today, Lord, we give your Son the glory. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Praise God. Hey, Pastor, it looks like it's on hold now. Just leave it like that. Thank you.